Welcome to HBF. It is good to see you this morning. And wow, good praise service. Well, I'm going to take about, I'm supposed to take 45 minutes and pack about 5 pounds in a 2-pound bag. So I'm going to jump right into this morning. If you were here last week, which I know many of you were, we were in the book of Revelation chapter 3. And man, I tell you, it was a good time. And I appreciate y'all that were able to make it, and appreciate y'all that weren't. I understand it was a crazy day, but I want you to go ahead and turn back to Revelation 3. I'm going to bounce off of what we talked about last week, because we talked about investing. And before I jumped off into the details and the kind of the vision for the church and where we're headed, where we're at, where we're going, I wanted to just go back and park for just a second on where we were last week, because really at the end of the day, if our relationship with the Lord isn't what it needs to be, then none of our other relationships are going to work. It's not going to be right. And so the counsel for this time of church history is found in Revelation chapter 3. And I'm just going to rehearse what we've already seen, and then we'll pray and we'll jump back into where we're going this morning. Revelation chapter 3. If you don't have a Bible, grab one from the seat rack in front of you, and we'll be on page 947, page 947 in those Bibles that are in the seat rack. And man, it's been good to be here this morning already. The blessing of the Lord, the rain's coming down. We need the moisture. And man, I pray that God blesses us this morning from His Word. So we're going to read Revelation 3. Let's stand in honor of His Word. I know you were just standing. Let's try this again. Sorry if your stuff's falling off your lap. Revelation 3, as we hear the counsel of the Lord to the church, and not a verse that we're not familiar with, but let's read it with fresh eyes this morning. And unto the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write, these things saith the Amen, the faithful and the true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would that thou were cold or hot. So then, because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. Because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods, and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. Verse 18, and this is the counsel that we've received from the Lord. And this is really what I want to focus on and launch from this morning. I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich, and white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed, and that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear, and anoint thine eyes with eye salve, that thou mayest see. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous therefore and repent. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man will hear my voice and open the door, I will come in to him and will sup with him, and he with me. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this wise counsel given directly to us this morning from the throne of heaven. And Lord, we looked at it, we exposed it, Lord. We meditated on it last week. And Lord, I pray this morning as we look forward to investing, that we would remember that it is a privilege to even be awake, to be alive, to be in Christ, and to know that we have the opportunity to serve you. This last song that we just sung was incredible as we think about laying our crowns down at your feet. Lord, may we invest in this life that we have, this temporary time that we have in these old carcasses, for a far more exceeding weight of glory. May our lives be filled with faith, faithfulness to you, filled with the Word of God, and hope, vision, that we can see what's eternal, and we would live our life today in light of that. And Lord, that truly we would have crowns to cast at your feet, for only you are worthy. Lord, you are holy. You're so gracious and good to us. We love you. We thank you. We pray, God, this morning that you just instruct us, encourage us, and direct us as only you can, by your Spirit and your power and the Word of God. We just thank you and ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. So last week when we got together, we built on everything that we'd been hearing all the way really from Christmas. And we talked about the need to recognize our need to invest, to receive Jesus' investment counsel, which we just read. And then, of course, the last thing that we saw there is the repent of poor investment practices. And so I hope this last week you've had time, if you weren't here, you've got time right now, to reflect on all of that and to consider, you know, where are the investments. This morning my goal is not to deal so much with the heart like we did last week. Last week God was challenging us our heart. But now I want to take that from the heart and then engage our head and our hands, right? So we can do the work of ministry, because that's really why we're here. We want to glorify God in all that we are, and then, of course, that'll affect all that we do. So this morning, as you think about that, I want to remind you how we left off, because we really left off on this issue of relationship. Jesus is calling people in verse 20 to this personal relationship. Now, we know that to be saved, it's a personal relationship, but we're going beyond that. This is to the people who are already saved, and oftentimes we get lost in activity, in groups, in chat rooms, wherever we're lost, and we forget the priority of Jesus Christ, right? Jesus Christ is the preeminent one. He is our priority, personally. And it's not just my priority as a pastor or your priority when you're doing a devotion for volleyball. He's to be our priority all the time, and he calls us to fellowship with him. And that's going to affect everything else about our life, and it's going to affect, of course, all the other relationships that we have. And why is that so important? Well, I'm glad you asked. Because the mission of Heartland Baptist Fellowship is to equip the saints of God in the Word of God, to accomplish the mission of God in the power of God, and I might add to the glory of God. All right, so that's the mission. Now, the reality is that we got to have this relationship with Jesus, because the Bible is very clear in John 13 and verse 34. Jesus speaking says, "A new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another as I have loved you." You always hear me talking about that, right? The great commandment. In essence, it's love God, love people. I mean, all the law and the prophets, it boils right down to that. And Jesus says, I give you this commandment, but he tells us why. He says, "By this shall all men know that you're my disciples, if you have love one to another." So this grace that flows from on high that Doug Pearson talked about has to flow through our lives, right? So our marriages work right, our families work right, and our church family works right, because it's really not about us. It's about the people who are looking at us. And they're looking for something that's an alternative, right, to whatever.com. And they're looking for something that's real, that's tangible, that's something they can get their life around. And it's found in Christ. But it's reflected in you. It's reflected in me. And it's reflected, I might add, in us. I just throw that out. Next week's the Lord's Supper. So it's important as we approach this topic, we're ready to invest in our relationship with Jesus, because the Lord's table is coming up. If there's anything that's not right in this church among any believer, man, get it right. There is no reason not to. The grace of God is sufficient. If you can't forgive somebody, pull that root of bitterness out. Ask God to help you, give you the grace of forgiveness, so that you can actually live out Revelation 3:20, you can live out the Word of God, John chapter 13, so that you can be everything that God has saved you to be, so that people can see Jesus in your life. Because if you hang on to that stuff, you think you're fooling everybody, but in reality, you're fooling nobody. I may not, you can fool me all the time, like I say, it's true, I'm easy to fool. But God, man, God wants to bless you. He wants to pour out his blessings upon your life. He wants to pour out his blessings upon this church. And so it's important that we take the fellowship with the Lord Jesus Christ and one another very seriously. Now, this morning, as we talk about investing in 2017, I want you to just, I'm going to go right to my first point. And I've already said the mission statement. We exist here really to invest. We're here to equip the saints of God in the Word of God. So my first point, what am I going to encourage you to do practically with what we heard last week? Well, it's to invest in the Word of God. And I was careful how I made that point. Invest in the Word of God. I put a capital W on there, not just because it's a title, but because, well, you can't tell because that's that PowerPoint, so I apologize. In my notes, if you looked at my notes, it's a capital W. And so invest in Jesus is what I'm saying. And the book, right? His mind. Let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus. It doesn't matter if you've been born again. It doesn't matter if you've been born again one day, or one decade, or several decades, we never outgrow the need to invest in the Word of God. Sometimes people get an attitude, it's like, oh, I got it. I've read through the Bible. I know my dispensational chart. Hey, that is a terrible attitude to have. We even talk like that, forgive me. At times I say, you know your Bible. Well, your Bible knows you, right? I like the way Sam Miles says it. The more you read the Bible, what do? Read the Bible till the Bible reads you. That's why we got to be in the Word of God. It's not about reading the Bible for head knowledge or getting to know more factoids, though all of that is important. But really, it is about reading the Word of God until the Word of God starts to read you. I found that to be man, magnified as we've been going through the book of Psalm 119. I've read Psalm 119. I've memorized portions of Psalm 119. But as I've been going through this series that we're going to pick up here in just a couple weeks again and come up out of that valley, man, I tell you what, guys, the Bible reads me, right? You get in there, you start studying. Next thing you know, you're on the floor going, oh, God, forgive me. Or God, thank you. I mean, it's awesome. We have a relationship with the living God through his word. Now, we invest in the word of God because the word of God feeds our soul. In the book of Job, which we cite this in our discipleship lesson number 5, we cite this wisdom that Job had. He said, neither have I gone back from the commandments of his lips. I have esteemed the words of his mouth more than my necessary food. Job 23 and verse 12. Young or old, investing in the word of God is necessary for spiritual development and well-being. The Bible says in Psalm chapter 1 verse 1, it says, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. Now, if you're under 30 years old, I guarantee you, you're having some problems with this one. You say, well, how do you say that, Brian? Because I know. Because I do too. It's the culture we live in. Everything is designed right now to keep you from doing this very thing. Meditating upon the Word of God day and night. I mean, your phone's going to buzz as I say that. I mean, you're going to get distracted by something. And it's not about, oh, I'm so unholy, I'm off in a ditch somewhere. I'm talking to the believer. You want the blessing. I want the blessing of God. The Word of God does have to be a priority. Meditation, I have to challenge myself to meditate upon the Word of God. Not just because I'm a preacher, but because it's necessary. If I want to be a blessing, right, I have to be blessed. And if I'm going to see God work in my life, I've got to let God's Word work in me. But you know what? You're just like me. I know you are. The reality is everything in this world, man, just wants to distract you. And not because you're ADD or ADHD or whatever that is. Now, some of you are that too. And that's a whole nother issue. But the reality is, guys, is we got to be careful to value and esteem and say, you know what, this is the fountain. This is the water of life. It's not entertainment. It's not whatever BuzzFeed says. It's not whatever this or that is. This is the water of life. This is where we're going to be blessed. This is the well. We have to make a decision to invest in the Word of God. Now, the name of our publishing ministry is Word First Bible Publishing. That's not just a catchy title. That needs to be real in our life. It needs to be real in our church's life. It needs to be real in our hearts so that we see the blessing of God as a local New Testament church. And so the New Testament speaks to the importance of learning the basics of God's Word. It's like milk. And right now we have a lot of folks at HBF that's really where you're at, and that's not a derogatory thing. It's a great thing, actually. It's wonderful that you're new to Christ. You just come to faith in Christ. Maybe some of you even considering that this morning. Maybe you're not saved, but you're like, man, I this guy's almost compelling me. I got news for you. It's not me. It's the Holy Ghost. He's drawing you. He's drawing you to him. And so, man, listen to him. Follow him. The Bible says this though about young believers. He says, in 1 Peter, Peter was a fisherman turned shepherd. In 1 Peter chapter 2, the Bible says, wherefore, laying aside all malice and guile and hypocrisies and envyings and evil speakings, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word, that ye may grow thereby, if so be that ye tasted the Lord is gracious. And that's a powerful passage. So let me break that down a little bit for you. Let me break the milk passage down a little bit more. See, what happens with milk when you drink, I don't know about you, but if I drink a bunch of milk, especially whole milk, what's going to happen to my gut? Boop, it's going to fill up. And now I might even get a stomach ache, actually. So, but milk, it fills you up. And then, you know what? That's why babies need it. It is full of nutrients, and it fills you up. But there comes a time, right, when you got to grow past that. I'll get to that in a minute, but milk's always good. You throw a little chocolate in milk, I'm still on, okay? I mean, milk is good. It fills you up. And in this passage, what that's really what Peter's saying, the Apostle Peter is saying, listen, There was a time when our heart, our mind, even our soul, you know, when we're lost, we're wretched, miserable, right? We're terrible. God forbid we live like that as Christians. But there's a time when we were full of malice and guile and hypocrisies and envyings and evil speakings. That's who we were. But we got a new word. We got a pure word. We got a sincere word. We got a holy word. It's the Bible. And so fill our hearts and our minds with that, right? We don't need the malice, which is badness and wickedness and depravity, and the guile, which is deceit and subtlety, and you guys know what hypocrisies are, and envy and evil speaking, all that sort of stuff that used to fill up our heart. No. When we get saved, God fills up our mind and our heart with the sincere milk of the Word of God. Isn't it awesome? I love that. I hope you never get over that. And by the way, if you count yourself mature, maybe we need to go back to the basics again. Because if you're full of all that other stuff, you're full of, we all like to say, full of bull, right? That's right. It stinks. So what you need to do is get washed out, man. You need to get the Word of God in you, because we never outgrow that. Now, babes need this milk to grow. Invest in the Word of God because, well, this is also what milk does, is it helps mature your walk. Milk is good, but it doesn't sustain growing a saint beyond infancy. Refusing to grow in your investment in the Word can hinder your forward progress as an individual, and thereby hinder the forward progress of the church. Not to put too much pressure on you, I'm just saying that the more you take in the Word, the more you grow. We left our son on the formula. We did exactly what the doctor said. And we get to the doctor, and they're like, is he still on the formula? And we're like, yeah, we got to feed him every 2 hours. He's like, well, you should be feeding him food. We're like, you told us to leave him on the formula. We didn't know. Remember that? We felt horrible. She's like, thanks for telling everyone. So, but there comes a point, right? We got to get past the milk. Refusing to grow is not good. Now, 1 Corinthians 3, the Apostle Paul wrote to the carnal church at Corinth. He said this, and I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. I have fed you with milk and not with meat, for hitherto you were not able to bear it, neither yet now are you able, for ye are yet carnal, whereas there is among you envying and strife and divisions. Are you not carnal and walk as men? Well, how are we supposed to walk? Saints. We're supposed to walk like God walks. We're supposed to be filled with the Spirit. Go give Galatians 5 a read. Look at the fruit of the Spirit. That's what we're supposed to walk like. Now, so Paul comes to this church. He's like, guys, like it says in Hebrews, you ought to be beyond this, but you're not. I'd like to feed you some meat, but I can't, because you're still walking like men. There's a part of this which is our decision. Right? If you want to be big and bulky, well, you got to decide to eat right and work out. Well, some folks are naturally gifted. I'm big and bulky, but in a different way. So that's when you decide not to work out and you eat wrong. But anyway, so if you want to be fit in the Lord, though, there is a dietary concern. The meat of the Word belongs to those who are of full age, the Bible says. In Hebrews 5:13, the Bible says, for everyone that useth milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. There's nothing wrong with being a babe. Amy, you're a babe. So we use that in a good term, and it's right. We love children. That's good. But there comes a time when, you know what, it is time to grow up, right? If you're 18 and you're surfing mom and dad's couch, right, and you have no plans for a job, a future, an education, hey, what do we say? It's time to grow up, young man. I'll say that for you, parents. Right? Because I know you don't want them living on your couch forever. And so the reality is that Paul, I believe Paul wrote Hebrews, but the Bible says, but strong meat belongs to them that are full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. You see, how do we grow up? We start to apply what we learn. We start to use what it is that we have. So we don't just talk about praying, we actually pray. We don't just talk about forgiving, we actually forgive. We don't just talk about loving, we actually love. We don't just talk about teaching, we actually teach.
We actually do what the Bible tells us, and by reason of use, our senses are exercised, and we begin to walk, we begin to crawl, we begin to stand up, we begin to toddle along. Next thing you know, we're walking. Before you know it, God's calling us to run a race and finish our course and strive like a soldier. And so it's a progress that we go through, that God allows us to go through, allows us to. It's a privilege to be in Christ. It's a privilege to grow in Christ. So invest in the Word because, well, He transforms lives. Oh yeah, I know He transforms our life, but think about this. The reason our life must be transformed is so other people's lives are transformed. If my life isn't transformed, I'm not going to be very good at transforming anybody else. The Bible tells us, a memory verse, you guys know this, Romans chapter 12, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service, and be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, right? That you may prove what is that good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. The point in this message here is that you need to be, and I need to be, we all need to be transformed, right? Like a transformer. You see that movie, you know, those, what are they, a car or a truck? And then it like transforms, and then it's some other thing, some bot. Hey, in Christ, you're transformed. Initially from a sinner dog, right? A lost, most of us in here, probably Gentiles, lost Gentile dog into a saint of the living God. But what that ends up looking like Peter, right? He was identified as a fisherman, and then a fisher of men, but before it's over, completely transformed into a sheep herder, shepherd. That wasn't his vocation, by the way. Right? That's just what God turned him into. He transformed him through his relationship with the Word of God. Okay, so receive God's blessing so you can be God's blessing. Another way to say this is we will never see other people's lives transformed if we're not allowing God to transform ours. So that's what we do at HBF. We exist to get you what God needs to get you from the Word of God so you can give it to other people so other people's lives can be transformed. So let me show you this image because this is our discipleship structure and it blows people away, okay? So D1, D2, HBI, pretty simple, right? Three little blocks there. And oftentimes when you think of discipleship, many folks just think about D1 or even D2 or maybe even HBI. I'm going to tell you something. That's just the structure. Everything we do here is about making disciples. Everything that we do. Everything that we do is about making disciples. And so that's our formal structure. But what is Discipleship 1? Because some of you may need to get involved with Discipleship 1. The vision for you this year is to really commit to learning the Bible one-on-one with someone, the fundamentals, and taking 16 weeks of your life. Really, it'll take you 32 probably. But anyway, taking 16 weeks of your life and sitting down one-on-one or couple with a couple and just learning the basics of the Word of God. You thought I was going to rush you into children's ministry. No, actually, I prefer that you just sit down and get in the Word of God and just fill up with that milk. You say, well, Brian, I already am ready for some meat. Well, good. Go ahead and go through D1 so that we can use you to teach others also. Because you need to be familiar with the material so that you can be useful in teaching. And then we have D2, which is an elective in our structure. You guys know about that. It's about 9 months long. Got a full class right now. I'm encouraging the Lord in that. It focuses on understanding the Word so you can be equipped to do what God wants you to do in ministry. It's the Word and the work. Because you got to, if you know, there's nothing, when you go to work, you want to have the right tools. Our car broke down one time in Brazil, and this guy didn't have the right wrench. Mr. American here, I'm like, we better go to the hardware store, right? No, he takes out like a dime and sticks it in the wrench and starts torquing on this diesel motor. I'm like, wow. I'd rather have the right tools, though. I'm glad he can improvise. But it's always better to do a job if you got the right tools. It makes things a lot easier. So we want to give you the tools that you need. HBI is our advanced discipleship process for those who are already involved in ministry and feel like they're called to get more training. Many times people that enter feel like they're called into ministry. Sometimes they don't. It's the next level of training. I tell you what, you'll get your cup full just going through D2 and working that out. And this wasn't in my notes, so I need to say this. There's been some people tell me that, you got to go through HBI to be a leader at HBF. And that's just bogus. We got people all over the place leading that haven't been through HBI. So I don't know where that came from. But just understand that we give you enough in D2 to get you going a long way for the Lord. You could definitely have some crowns to cast at his feet if you apply everything that you learn there and do the word and the work. Now, take advantage of this discipleship structure, because we got all kinds of supplements. I've already told you. Now, that's just the structure. But really, everything that we do, even this sermon this morning, is about making disciples. Because that's all that Jesus called us to do, is make disciples. That's what and disciples do everything. They go out and make they evangelize, right? Disciples are the ones that God uses in the church. He uses us. He puts us in offices. And all of this structure comes about as we reproduce. At the core of what we're doing, we're reproducing spiritual fruit. And so there are lots of things that supplement that at HBF. Right now, we just started at the beginning of the year the Invest Women's Bible Study. There's no prerequisite. If you're a lady, you want to get some more learning, a couple times a month on, I think, Monday night, they get together. They have like a quarterly event. It's a fun time. You can jump on that. If you're a woman, you want a little bit more, you can go through Woman to Woman, which after D1 is a one-on-one character study of the character qualities of Titus, taught by someone who can model that. We're working on a similar process for men that just supplements what we're doing in making disciples. There's other cyclical studies. I think Heather's going to be coming back around with the barren women study. And we got the Tuesday morning Bible study that men go to. There's just all kinds of things going on all the time. Take advantage of those things. But one of the things is probably neglected more than anything at HBF, I'm telling you. Sound like Donald Trump. I'm telling you, okay? Forgive me, please. No matter what you think of the guy, I don't want to emulate his speaking style, that's for sure. One of the things that you need to really take advantage of, I am telling you, is attending church. I hate to tell you that, guys, but really, we got all these extra things going on. We got all these cups filled. We got all this structure. But there are some folks that, man, if you can make it to church once every couple months, you're lucky. And I'm not against that. I'm glad you're here. Culturally right now, I talk to my other friends in ministry. I think the average, you know, most people don't get to church but once or twice a month. Am I going to be mad at you? No, not at all. That's not about me. It's not about filling up those chairs even. I just use that as an illustration because we want to reach as many people as we can, make as many disciples for God's glory. But for your own sake, we put on the spread every week. And not just at Sunday a.m. And not just in the main worship service. Some of you need to get in an adult Bible fellowship. You're like, man, the church is so big, I don't know anybody. That's why we have adult Bible fellowships. This is the congregation. If you want community, get in an adult Bible fellowship. And as you grow, you know what's going to happen? You're gonna be feeling it as you get involved in ministry, as you co-labor with people. And you minister together, the relationships get even deeper. It's beautiful how God works. And that's a small group. It's kind of interesting here at HBF. You can start your walk in discipleship with one-on-one. That's a super small group. And then you can keep growing. And before you end up, you'll end up in a ministry group somewhere serving the Lord. And that's a small group. But it's all about serving the Lord. It's not about entertaining ourselves. It's really about equipping the saints of God and the Word of God to accomplish the mission of God and the power of God for the glory of God. So take advantage of those things. The Bible does say in Hebrews 10, and let us consider one another to provoke unto love and good works. You remember that? Who preached that? Oh, who encouraged us to be provokers? You guys have slept since 2 weeks ago. Doug, right? Doug Pearson. He said, be a provoker. Provoke each other to love and good works. He was quoting Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 24. You know what comes after that? Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. Oh, you think you're saying, Brian, you want me here so that because you want me in the seat. No, I want you here to provoke somebody. You can't provoke if you're not present. That's what the text says. Doug called us here to be. He says, I didn't tell him to say that. God told him to say that. So he tells us, you need to be a provoker. And then the text right after it says, and you need to be assembled to do that. I see some good provoking going on every time I walk in the foyer, walk up and down the hallways. I mean, some loving's going on in the Bible fellowships. That's what it's all about. You need to be provoked. You need to be encouraged. You need to be even prodded every once in a while. And so Invest in Sunday night prayer meeting as well. Man, that is a power-packed time. It's scantily attended. Scantily. It's sad. Church prays together, stays together. Well, if that's the case, we're in trouble. Praise God for his grace and mercy. Sunday night at 6, man, make it part of your life. Wednesday night Bible study. Many of you don't know, and you know what, to my shame, to my bad. One of the reasons you don't know is I haven't talked enough about it. But our Wednesday night church services are structured. I know when you come in, it kind of looks like it's random, and I'm just doing some QA. But you know what? It's structured. We got a 7-year curriculum. If you go to our website, look under Learn, go down. It's all listed for you, what we're covering. I don't have time to get into all of it. But you get a full meal deal just coming on Wednesday night. If you stick it out for 3.5, for 7 years, you get your whole discipleship course right there. In addition to D1, D2, and everything else we're talking about. So the problem really isn't feeding folk. We're doing our best to feed folk. But the reality is we've got to really just take what we're learning. It doesn't matter if you get all this knowledge, because knowledge, what's it do? It'll puff up. But charity, oh yeah, it'll build up. It's actually taking what we know and mixing it in our heart and doing something with it. And so show that relational structure slide. I think it's next, isn't it? Because really what messes us up is relationship. Yeah. Sometimes people get all, it's not about doctrine. It's not about truth. It's about how you perceive truth. Your relationship with God, your relationship with others. And I got to tell you this, the church is even structured to help with that. I've already mentioned it. The way we do church, the big congregation, man, I hope I can move you off your seat. That's my goal when you come in here on a Sunday morning, or move you to your knees, or move you wherever God wants us to all be moved. Praise God. But ultimately, I tell you where all he wants us to move is in closer fellowship with Jesus. I preached it last week. He wants us to be in tune with his heart. We aren't going to have any vision if we don't have his vision. My vision isn't worth squat. We're doing the same thing here that we've been doing since day one, and that is accomplishing God's vision. And so it's important that you take advantage of the worship service, the adult Bible fellowships, and when the time is right, get involved in ministry so you can get that ministry group that's focused on both the team and the target. It's just that simple. If your personal vision doesn't include investing the Word of God in the people of God through God's ordained institution, the local New Testament church, you are going to have a sorry ROI, return on investment. This week I spoke to two people, no one in this room or congregation, nobody y'all know, and they were both saying, I'm saved, and they're both saying, God's blessed me, and they're both right. I believe it, I know their story, I know their testimonies, and both of them are lacking that. One's like, well, won't anyone listen to me at work when I witness? Well, where are you going to take them, pal, if they get saved? When you yourself won't even submit to the structure of a local New Testament church and get baptized. We can have all the big vision in the world, but if you don't do the next step, obey, submit, all the vision in the world is not going to help you. And so God is calling all of us this year, right now, to take that next right step. For one person, it's this. For another person, it's that. But the reality is we got to take that step. Or we're going to sit there and wonder at the judgment seat of Christ. Man, why didn't I get any return on investment? Once you look in his face, you'll understand. Because we forsook what it was that he called us to do. You're here this morning, right? You're in the Amen Choir. But I just want to say, don't diss on the local church, man. She's what God gave us to get where we're needing to go. Sometimes people get cross with the church. That's a bad place to get, because I'm the pastor, right? So you get cross with the church, you might get cross with me. But I love everybody, so I'm just saying. But God, man, he's ordained and blessed. We're not perfect. We're all full of all kinds of issues. But Jesus' love and grace and mercy, he covers our sin. And if there's sin, we deal with it. If there's a problem, we'll solve it. Well, we won't. God will. But I tell you what, guys, the church is what God has given. He has blessed it. And in the preacher, I'm replaceable. It's his local New Testament church. He bought it. He'll take it where it needs to go. Okay. I'm looking at my time. Point two. You guys know. That's like an Amen Choir at HBF. Invest in the Word of God. You know that. I want to talk to you this morning about investing in the Word of God. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 58, therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. Abounding. You know, that's like jumping around in the work of the Lord. I mean, moving for God. Always abounding in the work of the Lord. For as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. In the Lord. As long as it's in the Lord, you're doing something. And so he says, get to work. Follow God's pattern of investing in the work of God. The first thing I would encourage you to do is start with what's in your hand. Exodus chapter 4, Moses is wondering, what in the world am I going to be doing to leading these people out of Egypt? How am I going to do that? I don't have the skills. God told Moses in Exodus 4, 2, and the Lord said unto him, what is in thine hand? And he said, a rod. Sometimes you hear a guy like me preach and you come to a church like this and it's almost intimidating. It's like, I don't know enough Bible. I don't have enough zeal or whatever it is. Hey, listen, forgive me. Let me just say what the Lord said. What is in your hand? You don't have to be me. You don't have to be somebody else. All you need to do is be you. And look at what's in your hand. Because that's what God's going to start with. You're a good finish carpenter? See Tom. He'll put you to work, right? What is in your hand? What is it that you're good at doing? Just use that. You good at high-fiving people? Then go through the halls high-fiving people. I promise you, God will bless that. I mean, God will take what's in your hand. Just start by using what God has put in your hand. Natural talent, skills, things that he's given you in your vocation. Yield that to God. Say, God, this is yours. Use it however you can. Even if you don't quite see how he's going to use it. Say, hey, come to a Bible fellowship pastor, someone's discipling you. Tell them, look, this is what's in my hand. How can God use it? And God will use it. And then start by making God's priorities your priorities. I don't have time to get into the nuts and bolts of all this for time's sake, but you guys know the story of Peter and how he betrayed Christ, and then Jesus comes and calls him, and he comes to the shore. And what did he ask him to do? Three things. He says, feed my lambs, feed my sheep, feed my sheep. A great practical pattern for ministry. You're looking for a place to get started. Well, start with feeding the lambs. Peter had to align his priorities with God's priorities. You know, every pastor in our church started feeding lambs. Everybody. I mean, I bet most. How many of you started ministry feeding lambs, meaning children's type ministry? Yeah, a lot of us. And by the way, I was doing that until we went to two services. I love doing that. It's not just something that's like a stepping stone. That is where it's at. Why? Because if you can feed a lamb, you can feed the sheep. You can feed a lamb, you can feed the sheep. Start with the lambs. I learned a lot there. And then make an investment in building the body. I've already given you the priority, right? God has given us his word, he's given us his church. So feed the lambs. There's practical, and I'm going to run through this. You guys know, many of you know, many of you don't, if you're new to the church here maybe, but we have the Kingdom Kids Ministry, which also encompasses TNT, which is Training in Truth on Wednesday nights, Fun in the Sun on Wednesday nights in the summer. And so since we don't have a VBS, it's been on my heart. I'm like, well, maybe we could go to a backyard Bible study. You know what? Wouldn't it be cool? If God put this on someone's heart, I come into the office this week. This last Tuesday at our Life Issues meeting, we had like either 21 or 17 children while the adults were meeting for Life Issues. And Tom and I were talking. It's like, man, we need a backyard Bible study for Heartland. He's bringing kids to our church in the middle of the week, 21 at a pop. I don't even know if we got that on Wednesday night. We probably do. But the point is, I'm like, man, there is opportunity to minister if you just open the eyes and look on the field. And I'm not telling anybody to do it. I don't know who's the laborer for that harvest. But there are things that you can do if you just open up your eyes and say, God, I'll use me. We can always use counselors, cooks, helpers, middle school. There's always something to do in feeding the lamb. Middle school help is what I was going to say. So there's always important service ministries as well. No prerequisites other than salvation and faithful participation. But ministries like the ushers, the greeters, the grounds, the facilities, etc., they make a big difference in the church. I had a couple this week that's planning on joining. I had dinner with them. They said, you know what? Now, these are people, they like the Bible, they like the Word, they like everything about Heartland, but they said one of the things that impressed them the most was when they came through the front door and someone greeted them with a smile and welcomed them in the door. Now, what do you got? You don't have to have a PhD in theology to love people. But I tell you what, it'll go a lot further sometimes than having a PhD in theology. And so that's the kind of stuff that everybody can and should be getting involved in. Why am I saying this? Because we need you. Frankly, we need you. A lot of times we get the same faithful folks doing the same thing over and over again. And you know what? We need people to step up and say, I'll take that on. Don't be shy. If they won't move, we'll elbow them. You know, we'll make some room. Because we need your help. It's for your benefit, too. It's going to benefit you when you jump up and get involved in those things. We got a ministry like Word First Bible Publishing. Randy, what's required? Show up. You can fog a mirror, right? So you get up. There it is. You're alive. Show up. Randy will put you to work. I mean, I'm telling you, God wants to bless you. There's so many things here at HBF that are like that. We're praying about the ambassador ministry being resurrected and retooled. And, man, see Jeff Trude if you're interested in that. There's practical places like the Resource Center, the library. There's more than I can even talk about this morning. The hospitality ministry, Sonia, Sue will put you to work. The sound, yes, I forgot that. It wasn't in my notes. They're in the back going, yeah, AV, sound. Yeah, the worship ministry. I mean, they're just, man. I'm not begging either. I'm just saying. Those are opportunities. And there's other places to invest the precious truth of God's word. One of the really great places is to disciple others. If you have had the privilege of being discipled, disciple someone else. You like small group? Well, that's a really small group. That's a great way to get with some folks and really get some traction. Sometimes it goes well, sometimes it doesn't. We got classes. You can get in and get trained if you want to be a discipler. Man, just check me out. Check your adult Bible fellowship pastor out. Find Tom Ford. Whatever the case, we'll get you connected and directed. And so the issue is not the work. It's the laborers. If there's work to be done, we got plenty of it around HBF. None of these things that we're talking about are things we're trying to create something for folks to do. This is the work of the ministry. But what we really need to do is apply Matthew 9:38 and pray the Lord of the harvest that he'll send forth laborers into his field, because it's important that he does that. And the last thing I want to point out, not just investing in the word of God, in the work of God, but I want to talk about investing in the world for God. And again, a passage you guys all know, Acts 1:8, as Jesus is ascending, he tells his disciples to tarry. I'm going to read this because I don't want to butcher it. But ye shall receive power, he tells them, after the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and all Judea, in Samaria, and unto the uttermost parts of the earth. And I'm just going to use that pattern. You guys, if you've been here much, you know that we trust God to accomplish his mission simultaneously, strategically, supernaturally. Whether it's Brazil or Asia or Europe or wherever, we're trusting God to, you know, for the big picture. But we're also focused on Cass County. And we want to be a Philadelphian church. I started in Revelation chapter 3 in the church of Laodicea, but I really pray that we are a Philadelphian church, that God opens doors that no man can shut. And so let's just break this down, because it's important that we invest in Jerusalem. The ministry of, well, the Cass County communities. And there's some stuff that's developed that many of you probably don't know about. It's kind of behind the scenes, and it's kind of an outreachy type of thing. It's something that we're doing in hopes that it brings fruit. And Jeannie Bylene is involved in Bright Futures. Some of you don't know what that is. That's just an agency to help connect the community to the school system. So, and what is there is opportunities to be in the school on purpose. And so, you know, whether it's a coat drive or it's an opportunity to interact with parents or whatever the case may be, we're taking advantage of those things. And those build on other initiatives that we're praying for. Maybe this year we'll be involved. Barb Boucher's praying about getting us involved in the, what's the name of that, Barb? For Good News Clubs. Yeah, to get in some of the schools. There's some schools in our communities in Cass County. They have no representation from anybody that's a local church. That's not Harrisonville. Harrisonville already has a First Baptist, so Harrisonville does a great job in the school, in the elementary school. But Sherwood doesn't have anybody. And so I'm praying that God would help us be pioneers in that way and reach our city and our communities right where we are. We have folks, Carol Thompson sitting right here, and in the next service we'll have Linda Jones and Kinley. They're part of the Life Choice Center for Women on the board. There's all kinds of opportunity. If you want to deal with single moms and women in crisis pregnancy, talk to them. They'll get you connected and directed. You can reach out right in this community. And then we're going to do community connections right out of this church, just like we always do. We'll be adding a few in conjunction with the Word First Bible Publishing. Man, we want to get some of these gospel Johns and Romans and things out in the community, whether it's church at the park or 4th of July or, man, the harvest party. I'm telling you, harvest party. If you're not planning for the harvest party, you need to be putting that on your calendar right now. Last year, man, we had more people than we had booths. We got this scant group of booths out there trying to do the harvest party. I don't know where everybody was at, but man, I tell you what, we had people flooding in. There's people from Rich Hill. We came up to be part of your harvest party. I was like, whoa, this is incredible. That's something we need to capitalize on because we got a good head of steam. Those are things that we need to be about this year because God wants us to reach those folks. And we also need to invest in Judea, right? We sent out a church a few years ago to KCK. That's a church that's reaching the world right from KCK. It's amazing. If you don't know about Shiloh Bible Fellowship, you need to learn about it. There's a prayer team that's still meeting. I think, Lance, are you heading that up? Yeah, so you can see, raise your hand, Lance. You can see Lance, and he'll connect you and direct you. But this year, we're praying. We're praying to start, well, not only praying, we're doing it, planting a couple seed plants in Henry County and Bates County. What's a seed plant? Well, that's a Bible study that we're trusting the Lord will grow into a local New Testament church. So people in those counties, in those county seats, or near those county seats, we'll have a local New Testament church with our DNA. And that we're trusting the Lord to do that. Right now, Tom Fort's already meeting in Clinton at the coffee shop. And they meet on Wednesday night. So be praying about that. And Harold's praying about a start date in the Bates County area to do a seed plant Bible study. Now, let me make this real practical for you. How many of you know right now somebody who lives in Bates County? Maybe you live there. Well, let's stand up. Just stand up where you are. If you know somebody or you yourself live in Bates County, okay? So there's Bates County. Almost all of you could stand up because you know people in here, but that's a whole other story. How many of you know somebody in Henry County, which is the Clinton County down there? Some of you live there, like the Lafarges. You know somebody? No, I'm not talking about you live there. Do you know somebody lives in Clinton, Urich? Really? That's all? I'm surprised. I figured almost everybody would stand up. Okay, let me introduce you to the Lafarges. They live in Clinton. Let me introduce you to the Johnstons and the Freemans. They live in Clinton. So everybody stand up because you all know these people. And if you don't, you need to say hi to them after church. No, stand up. I'm serious. Take the notes off your lap. All right, there's a reason for this. This is an object lesson, but it's actually very practical. You see how hesitant you are? You don't want to join in. I mean, it's embarrassing. But this is really what it needs to see God go forward. It is just a few people here and a few people there. That's how things like HBF start. But you know what we had in Kansas City? A whole pile of people praying. You know what we need in Cass County? You know what they need in Henry County? You know what they need in Bates County? You know what they need in Missouri? You know what we need in the United States? You know what we need in the world? We need a pile of people praying. And if you don't know people, get to know them. Find out who they are. And so let's pray right now. Heavenly Father, we pray right now for the faces, even in this room, that live in Henry County or Bates County. We pray for the faces that are untold that we don't know and the connections that need to be made to glorify you, Lord. There are souls that need to be saved, people that will never drive 45 minutes one way to go to church, that need to have a local church in their community that preaches and believes the Word of God, is focused on the mission of God, has a faith-based view of Scripture, has a dispensational view of the Bible, and a missions mindset. Lord, we pray, God, that you would plant churches there someday. Lord, we pray that you would prosper the seed plants. Lord, your hand be upon these things. Lord, I pray that you would just take this group of people right now and not let them forget the priority of prayer. Lord, recruit them right now to join in a mighty prayer movement. to see your mission go forward. Lord, we thank you. We praise you. In Jesus' name. All God's people said, amen. You may be seated. You've just been deputized. All right, you're part of the mission of God. Even, you say, well, I was just praying. Praying is a big deal. We need to be doing it. In Samaria, God is connecting us through Word First Bible Publishing, man. I'm telling you, it's awesome to think about the relationship that we have with our sister churches and Living Faith Fellowship, which is not just locally from our old KCBT connections, but across the United States. God is going to use that. He's already connecting it with Word First so we can help church planners, so that we can cooperate in missions. It's amazing. Even what we're already attempting to trust Christ to do in Cambodia is already being blessed by those relationships. God is doing some stuff in Jerusalem, in Judea, Samaria, and you can get in on that. You can become part of a local church trip going to Cambodia or Taiwan or Monmouth or wherever God calls you to go. And you can invest in the uttermost. But you know what? Some of you, maybe this morning what you need to invest in is investing. Maybe you need to get that passport. Maybe you say, man, I need to get my life in order. My finances are out of control. Hey, maybe your next best step is make sure when we do financial peace here this spring that you're here and that you're getting the counsel that you need. You're getting the accountability and the help that you need to put yourself in a position to take advantage of all that God has for you to reach the world, so that you can invest your life in what God would have you invest in. At the very least, wouldn't it be good to be debt-free, or to at least have some tools to get your finances in order, under control? Man, that's also what we want to offer. We want to help you. Order your life. That's really what this year is about. Last year we looked on the field. Now I'm asking you, order your life. I'm asking myself, God's asking me, order my life to invest. Make the main things the main things, and make sure that you're taking, and I'm taking the steps that we need to take to maximize the investment that the Lord has placed in us. Because you'll never go if you don't give. You know, long before I ever stepped on a mission field, I supported missions through giving through my local church. Long before I invested my time, talent, and treasures on missions trips, I gave to missionaries. You say, Brian, I can't go on a missions trip. This is sort of like church attendance, man. Maybe you need to just start by getting obedient and giving and get a pattern of giving. Maybe it's just tithing obediently. Or maybe it's giving to a missionary, going over and above and saying, you know what, I am going to sacrifice my Starbucks this week, and I'm going to set this $2 and whatever ridiculous price for coffee aside, and I'm going to give this to whoever. And I'm going to set it aside. I mean, God will start there, because there's a real key to investing. It's found in Matthew 6:21. The Bible says this: for where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. So last week, remember what Jesus counsels us to do? Buy of him. Buy of him. And today what I've given you is practical ways to do that. Last week was kind of conceptual, it was big. This week, it's very practical. There's handles on this. And I know that the Spirit of God is calling all of us to consider our investments. And maybe it's not just in what we need to invest in. Maybe there's some things we're investing in that just need to go. They're just not profitable, and we need to prune them. I know it might hurt a little bit, but you know what will come after that is fruit. So consider investing this year in the work of God. Whatever that means to you, whatever that next step is, that's the step you need to take. Amen? Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you and praise you for the Lord.